beautiful soul, and welcome to The Riley June Show. This is a podcast for those who are finding purpose in life through God's eyes and the tactical skills and confidence to execute building a successful business serving others online. On this podcast, it's all about the rawness, truth, and foundation of who we are and what we do, and always leading from that space. No matter how busy life may get or the chaos that might exist at every level, you will always be able to find someone going through something similar here. Find resonance in the stories of those walking a similar entrepreneurial ship and self-development journey as you. From insight talks to scripture and guest experts in their coaching field, every week will be an opportunity for you to get right with Christ and find that missing link that is holding you back from your greatest potential. As your host, I have had the pleasure of serving hundreds across the world in life transformation, from finding their identity in motherhood, healing from their past, developing the coaching skills and the businesses from startup to five figures online. It is truly my favorite thing to show up each week and pour into you the opportunity to grow and serve through Jesus Christ. Grab a pen and a journal. You're not going to want to miss these episodes, and take some notes and get ready to transform your life and business now. Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome back to another episode. This one is going to be a real, honest, raw look into all things entrepreneurship, running a coaching, spiritual-based business online, and motherhood, and how all of that fits together. I know so many of you are moms and you are starting up or have been running spiritual-based, coaching-based businesses for some time, or even want to. And there's a lot of deception that exists. And if you know me, you know I love to jam out on all the things exposure. But there's going to be a really beautiful side that I also address and talk about today that is going to encourage you to hopefully pursue this passion in helping other people. You see, you went through something that changed your life. You developed an awareness, you uncovered something about yourself, you overcame something from your past, and you likely started to dream more about your future in a way that you never have or were told that you could before. And that led you to a place where entrepreneurship was very attractive. Now, within that, there's a lot of carrots that get dangled in people's faces. You can have $1 million. You can have an influx of clients constantly. You can have a booked out, sold out calendar. You can have all these passive, make money in your sleep, income revenue streams. But the truth is that a lot of the people who do have these things, one, have the success that they do because of a lack of honesty and integrity, meaning that they'll take on any product from anyone, whether it aligns with their values or not, whether it's actually helpful or not, and they'll just social sell it. So basically saying, hey, I got this new product and I absolutely love it. And they'll read the points of whatever they're provided with about the product, and then they'll sell it through their platform. Also, if you're comparing your business or your reach or your audience online to somebody who has tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of followers, the likeliness that a lot of those people have bought those followers is more likely than it is not. Now, I'm not saying that everybody does this, but I am saying that a massive amount of people do this. And these are some of the real things that come with the world of entrepreneurship. When it comes to starting or running or growing and scaling your coaching business online, your practice online, even with a spiritual practice, it's not what so many people say that it is. You're going to work more for your own practice than you would an employer. The likeliness that you as an entrepreneur are going to put in 40 to 60 hours a week alone on your business, especially in the first 5 years, honestly, even after you have your systems established in place, is more likely than these 20-hour work weeks or these 1-hour-a-day work weeks. And the reason that a lot of people lie is because they either are leveraging other people's audiences well, which is in a sense smart because then they're not having to put all the pressure on just selling the same thing to their own audience, or they're not actually making what they say that they are or working what they said that they are. For a lot of cases, if you see people who are putting out stuff every day or they're up in their stories every day, you know, take a couple moments to add up what that would take to even create that. Graphics take anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. Sitting there, reading through your messages, screenshotting things, making posts, making reels, doing stories. These good things can take upwards of a couple hours. On top of even going back if you're resharing your own content from before. These things still take time, and there's more people working more than an hour than they say that they're working than what we realize. Another thing that I know to be very true that takes place in the coaching industry is a lot of people who are going into massive amounts of debt to provide this social-like experience of them traveling and living the life and doing all these things while racking up loans to be able to provide for that because their client income isn't making either what they say that it is or that it's not even remotely where they're sharing that it is, which really is one and the same thing. But the difference is that they're either telling you, hey, I make a lot of money, or they're not telling you, but they make it look like they're making a lot of money when in fact it's loans from the government that is funding all of this stuff. So that stress-free life that they say that they live isn't actually logical or realistic because the amount of stress that comes from anybody who's doing all this traveling and living this lifestyle but is leveraging debt or is utilizing debt to display it is going to naturally cause someone stress when they don't know how to pay it all back. The other side to entrepreneurship that often isn't talked about is when you're a mom. The amount of times that I have recorded this episode, the amount of times that I have to pause to go do something for the kids or help them out or Noah wakes up or he needs to go down to sleep or feed. Right now, he's sitting on my lap right now after a nap, right? Yes. Is more likely to happen than for things to just go smoothly. Also, when it comes to coaching containers and you're a mom, you're going to have your kids running around in the background. They're not always going to be perfectly quiet. Sometimes you're going to have to ask your client to hold on a moment so you can go and deal with or do the things that you need to do. Now, I am very grateful and fortunate that I do have my husband home with me full time, so it does mitigate a lot of these things. But in the beginning, that was not the case. And for a lot of stay-at-home moms who are looking for something that they can pursue a passion in helping other people, something that is genuinely just for them, there is that real side of having to deal with, navigate, and honestly get over that you got kids and you're going to have to find a way to balance and manage it all. And there's no actual formula for that either, by the way. Because if you have young kids, you know that they don't always nap every day. They don't always eat their food when they need to every day. They don't always do the same things every day. That sometimes every day is slightly different. And that is just a whole part of the experience. And my intention isn't to sway you away from entrepreneurship, but to really just share the real logical side of what it looks like. Now, this is in alignment with, or I'm sharing this from the perspective of running a coaching business. A product-based business really works one and the same. Whether you're affiliating for another company or you're building your own products, you still have to create your own products. You got to design your own products. You got to buy your affiliated products, and you got to learn how to market those in a way that stands out from others. Same with a coaching business. You have to run in a sense of authority over what you're saying and stand out that in a way that is more appealing to people, which is going to require market research, integrity, ethics, and truth. Here's the thing about truth. In anything that you do, always be the one to tell the truth. Because the second you start swaying away from truth, you start filling in ideological beliefs that aren't actually predicated on facts. They're predicated on fiction, which takes out the element of helping a client build a foundation that they intentionally and genuinely at the root of what they're doing came to you to help them with. they lacked a foundation in something in life. That's why their life is chaotic and stressful. They couldn't figure out how to manage something or heal something or work through something. And so for you as a coach or positioning yourself as a healer to say that, hey, I can help you, if you don't lead with integrity, ethics, and truth, you're not going to be able to cut through the bullshit of your clients' problems that they keep holding themselves back, but also your own as well, because you can only help your clients to the best of the ability that you can truly help yourself, and equally that you do help yourself. And that's another thing with entrepreneurship, is we often hear about hustle culture and how it's so bad, and cancel culture and how everybody's getting canceled, and how there's no wrong way to do something, that everybody's on a journey and a destination. You know, we're all going to get to hopefully, ideally the same place at some point in just different ways. And though we all carry different past experiences and different perspectives, sort of, there is still a right and wrong way to do things, right? There is still a tangible, logical process to walk yourself through a deeper level of experience. There is a right and wrong way to act in life, in reality. There is a right and wrong way for time management and practicality when it comes to moving through things that you feel out of control with. If you're working with people who feel out of control in their life, which if you do any sort of life coaching or business coaching, that's what you're working with people through, is trying to manage the chaos in their life. Structure, practicality, and routines are first and foremost the biggest priority, because without those, and in their lives without them, it is why there is that chaos that exists. My biggest quote with the spiritual industry is one that it is rooted and predicated on a lot of falsities and manipulative tactics and demonic connections. The other problem is that I've been doing a lot of podcast interviews with women, some of them absolutely just so incredible, and I cannot wait to start putting them out. I might even start doing two podcast episodes a week, Mondays being with me, and then sometime later in the week being an interview to share. With that being said, some of them are absolutely amazing. But there's two questions that I always ask people. One of them being is, how do you explain your authentic self? Because that tends to be a big hot topic word that comes with the spiritual and life coaching industry. But the other question is, when it comes to discernment and helping your clients through discernment, how do you best describe and explain what that process looks like? And so the answers from faith-based practitioners are always, well, living an authentic life is about the ability to love yourself and love God and carrying that over into your relationships to love others. Absolutely makes sense. Then when it comes to the second part of the question for those who are faith-based, they always speak to the fact that discernment comes from the Bible. It comes from knowing what is wrong and right, what is best and not good. Knowing when you are seeking or desiring something out of your own pleasure and when you're doing it with the intent to yield and follow the will of God. In many cases, that then looks like doing things purely out of service, doing things without the expectation of what glory you're going to get in the end. Now, when interviewing those same two questions to those who run spiritual-based businesses, The idea of living your authentic life is solely based off of what brings you the most pleasure, what brings you the greatest outcome, what brings you the most of anything. When it comes to the second part of that question, how to understand how to discern, it comes back to self-trust and self-connection and self-love. But the truth is that we're always limited. We're always limited to our own subconscious beliefs. We're always limited to the environments and our ability to think beyond our own means. But we will always be subject to subjective truths or others' perspectives unless we have a foundational hard truth to live by. Just like we have the law in society. You can't murder, you can't jaywalk, you can't speed, you'll get tickets, right? There is rules and laws that we do need to follow by. So this whole idea in the spiritual community and even in now the life coaching industry that everything is just so subjective and that it's all based off of our self pleasures and desires in of itself is manipulative and entrapping because you're always going with your own limitation. You can only go as far as your own limitation. And then living an authentic life is still based off of this self-idolization, expectation, and understanding. And that's never going to get you to live out a purpose or to live out the destiny that was designed for you or to help you to see beyond your own limitations and barriers because you're always reliant on yourself. It actually at its foundation and core is very survivalistic and oftentimes tips the scales towards narcissistic, right? So we do need to be very mindful of this because you're likely running a business, want to run a business, have experience in some form of spiritual modality or desire to be a coach or are a coach, and you find yourself also maybe even answering questions in one of these two ways or explaining these things in one of these two ways or leading your clients to believe these things in these specific ways. And I did an interview today and it really just reminded me of the value of coming to Jesus in my personal life and bringing this into my business. Because when I asked these two questions, not only was her answers always predicated on the self always having to be right and making decisions based out of pleasure, but then in the next step, it was everyone in this circle that she hosts knows everything about everyone's life and they help to validate and keep them on course and direction. That's a cult. Like plain and simply, that is a cult. And if you're looking to better your life, you're not going to do it when you're always up against other people's judgments and opinions. Because again, they have their own limitations. They have their own perspectives. They have their own truths that they're choosing to abide by. So how do we know what is really right? And the world of entrepreneurship in terms of coaching and healing and all these types of things, yes, there are many modalities. And yes, there is this idea that even with God, God is love. God is not division. God wouldn't try and divide New Age from spirituality and biblical truth and so on and so forth. But the truth is that God does. And this is why reading his word is so important because even a statement to that context is misleading in of itself. It's not factually true because in the Old Testament, God floods cities. He sends plagues upon his people. He kills by the hundreds and the thousands when people are being disobedient to his word. God isn't just this all-loving God that provides you a path of your own pleasures and glory. God expects you to be obedient to him, to his word, to his expectations, and in many cases has wiped out populations and nations because of their disobedience. So God isn't just not going to divide the difference. He often, also throughout the biblical text, discerns the difference between a spiritual warfare, Satan's lies and deceptions, God's truth through Jesus Christ, and what he expects of you there. You know, even this idea that we're all children of God. Well, actually, in fact, we're not. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 to, I think we're going to go to 12. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So even in from verses 1 to 5, it very clearly explains that the only people who are actually children of God are those who believe in God. And those who believe in God believe that Jesus is Christ, that they follow and abide by him, that in keeping the commandments, in following suit with the commandments, that it's not burdensome, that it's actually out of obedience and respect to God. And that for those who do keep these promises, are able to defeat the world and all of the entanglement and chaos that it does provide. It even goes on to say that, since we believe human testimony, verse 9, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his son. We are so quick to say, oh, this person had this experience, this person testified, this person gave this testimony, this person gave this experience, this is true, this is true, this is true. But if we believe in God, why would we not believe in God's testimony above man's testimony? God, the one who created us all anyways. And it says, all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his son. And so it really does come down to that. If you're not following the word, now if you're someone who doesn't believe in God and in Jesus and in the biblical scripture, and you're listening to me, thank you. I'm so happy to have you here. But I really hope you're reflecting on that, because if you have any preconceived notions or ideas about God, and even if you do believe in God and Jesus in the Bible, but you don't practice it, and you have your own preconceived notions of God, it literally says right here that those who don't believe that all who believe the Son of God know in their hearts this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his son. It's so easy to say, this is my truth. But it's so easy to say, this is my truth, and then go off on a tangent about how that is true. But in all actuality, if there's no factual basis, there's no legitimate text to support that, then how true is it really? That's not to say that your experience isn't probable or likely, but again, it still comes down to perspective, right? We can't say that the sky is orange on the middle of a sunny day when it is very obviously blue. We can't say that an evergreen tree is purple when it is very clearly green. We can't say that a piece of white paper is whatever we want. It's an animal, because there are just literal things that are just not true. And when it comes to your spiritual foundation, when it comes to you doing things in your business, I'm going to give you some tactical steps that you can take in your business right now to really help you to evolve the practice that you're holding for people, as well as your ability to actually go out and source out clients who you genuinely want to work with, that can very well benefit from what you are doing. It really comes down to understanding that there are right and wrong ways of doing things. And what I have constantly come to find in half a decade in the spiritual industry is that a lot of people have no idea what they are doing. They have no idea the processes, the systems, the structures, the financial aspects of what comes with running a business. They've been dangled that carrot that says, hey, you can make a bunch of money online and you just got to do this. And you don't need time management because you only work an hour a day, maybe, or, you know, 15 hours a week or 20 hours a week. It's super simple. It's actually not super simple. It is extremely rewarding helping people and, you know, applying the things that you're learning to your own life and seeing those transformations. But it's even more rewarding when you're bringing that glory to God, the one who created us anyways. Because at 3 a.m, when people are stressed and in chaos and panicked and they're waking up in the middle of the night worried about their bills or their health or their relationships or their kids or themselves, they're not turning to binaural beats to do a meditation. They're not turning to chakra scans to figure out the imbalance in their energy. They're not turning to their higher self to figure out what feels best and what is true. They're praying. You're praying because it's the only thing we innately know how to do. And when it comes to building out a practice that is pr- predicated on the foundation of helping people truly change their life, you have to have something that they turn to that is greater than themselves. And what greater thing to turn them to than the one who created them? It's the most beautiful relationship you can truly build, is not just one with a self-sabotaging cycle of you and your higher self, but one of you and the creator, the one of you and God who literally designed you for a purpose, sent you as a promissory to this world. That is true purpose. And I also want to say that in my practice, we don't spend the entire time in our sessions talking about God, talking about biblical truth, guiding you to scripture. We look at your behaviors. We look at your emotions. We look at the things that are happening under the surface. There is a very key psychoanalytical part that comes with all things helping people change their lives, right? But when it comes to things like self-doubt and lack of confidence and worthiness and acceptance and love, that's really where God and Jesus fill that role, as well as how do I know what is right and wrong, right? Is it right to tell a white lie and the idea that it could save face with someone? No, the truth is always the best way out. Phil and I are listening to the audiobook of 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson, and one of his chapters is to always tell the truth, or at least never lie. And his examples and the way that he explains it is so powerful and beautiful, because even in tough and difficult situations, you will breed a level of integrity and respect far beyond anything you could do by lying to someone. Because if they turn around and find out you're lying, will respect and integrity go out the window? So to what benefit is it for you to ever tell a lie? And coaching is one of those industries, even spiritual healing practices, you're still doing coaching work, right? You're helping people through their thoughts, their emotions, their experiences in life to rewire their habits and their behaviors and their patterns. It's all one in the same thing with just a slightly different title. If you don't know how to explain or live on truth, then you're not going to be able to help your clients in the long run be able to do that either. When I came into one-on-one coaching for this year and was creating the packages and containers for my clients, it is why I brought on a holistic practitioner with tons of experience and knowledge, Dr. Jock Moser, because healing work isn't just the mind, emotions, and spirit and behaviors. It's also the physical part of it too. Our organs store trauma, emotional trauma. And just because you become aware of it and you make peace with it, it doesn't necessarily mean that any of the chaos and the clutter and the toxins that have been built up in those systems just go away overnight, right? And that is where protocols, health protocols that are tailored to you, not just health protocols tailored to you based on your own private testing, become so wildly important, because it actually helps the practitioner and yourself better understand what's even going on with your body. So these are some things that I'm doing to bring integrity and ethics and truth into my practices this year. Another thing to really note and understand when it comes to business is so much simpler than it's made out to be. It really just comes down to figuring out what it is you actually help people with. And if you struggle with the verbiage and the wording of it, the copy, it's likely because at the root of what you're doing, it doesn't really help solve a person's problem. See, there's a lot of people who teach things surrounding divine embodied feminine energy or embodied divine feminine. And the reason why a lot of these women who teach this can't sign clients or really struggle to is because at the root of what they're doing, the industry in that particular genre or category is based on this idea that nudity, displaying yourself online publicly, being able to show up and lust over yourself and love over yourself is the best way to be embodied. But the truth is, oftentimes this is just porn. Right? We can get upset over titles, but that doesn't take away from the fact that one day your children are going to be able to look you up online, and so will their friends. And the only thing they're going to see is porn. This is something that is so crazy to me that I see so often, because I myself used to compare my level of divine feminine embodiment to my ability to show up and take half-nude photos or post that stuff online. And I was always uncomfortable with it. Not because I didn't like myself, not because I thought that I wasn't good enough, not because I had body image issues, but because it was genuinely uncomfortable. And so I thought about how one day my kids are going to be able to search me online. Is that really something that I want them to see? There's a lot of women who talk about shadow work and going to the depths of your shadow while they're basically dry humping their bed in lingerie, and they're calling this divine feminine embodiment. That's just porn. That's like, there's no way around this. You can lean into a subjective truth, but that doesn't make it true. And if you're anything like me and you've compared yourself and your level of divine feminine embodiment to that before, this is Satan's tactics. This is the deception that exists in this industry. And you likely see, even in reading people's what they do to help, or when asking them, what do you do to help, they can't really truly explain it. It has something to do with some kind of jargon surrounding, I help you embody the deepest levels of your soul, spirit, and higher self to walk and lead a more confident, stress-free, and empowered life where you are walking blissfully into a life of desired manifestations that unfold so effortlessly with ease. That literally tells you nothing. That tells you nothing about the process. That tells you nothing about what exactly you're going to do. That tells you nothing about how they actually help you. It's all just subjective jargon. And that could really just be an episode all of its own. But I'm going to leave you with this today. Something that you can do in your business to help you to start getting more clients is pick something that you love doing. And really learn the skills to be able to help them shift through the layers, the brainwave frequencies of unpacking that. I don't condone spiritual practices because it's very much biblically against what I stand for and believe. But for the sake of you being on your own journey, learn how to map someone through an emotional staircase, if you will, of going down and up through that experience. Also, pick one thing. If you get tired of talking about the same one thing over and over again, you either don't actually believe in it or you don't trust that it can actually work, which really is one and the same. Equally, people likely don't understand it. So if they don't understand it, this is where you really need to get logically, tangibly clear about what you do. See, my slogan that I've sat with is, I bring tangible knowledge and Jesus to those on a healing journey. So if someone asks me, okay, what is tangible knowledge? I say, we look at the psychoanalytics, so your behaviors, your routines, your emotions, and your mindset, to the things that you're feeling in chaos surrounding, whether that be relationships, health, finances, or self. And we integrate understanding what you're doing, behaviorally, in your mind, in your emotions, in your actions. And we look at how to better process those experiences. When wounds come up, we work with Jesus. We turn to scripture. We figure out exactly what they say and what they offer so that you know that those wounds don't have to remain, that you can experience inner peace. And one of my favorite things to do is helping other people who have this genuine desire like you do to help see other people change their life, just like once upon a time somebody helped you, to just know what to do. So that it's not super complicated, but so that you also understand logically and realistically what it's going to take to make those millions people talk about online. everyone that I have gone to with actual tangible business knowledge, they have built not only their own businesses, but other businesses into the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars online. Every single one of them says have one product, one lead funnel that gets people in front of your work. That doesn't mean they all, everybody's signing up for your email address and you need click funnels and this funnel and that funnel and landing pages. It's even just like one link where people can go to and book into your calendar, something that's relevant for you to find your ideal client and get them in front of you. So for me right now, I am doing interviews for people that have a certain scope of work right now that are my ideal client, that I can bring them in, learn about them, their lives, their business, what's working, what's not, and then let them know that, hey, I have this really great way that I can help you if you're interested. And it's through this program, the Aligned Entrepreneur Program. And if that's not for you, that's okay too. You know, feel free to ask questions. If not, it was wonderful connecting with you. And selling is so much more detached. I don't have it in me that I need to set certain targets. I'm looking at the analytics. I'm looking at how many people are booking in, what those conversations are looking like. It's also market research, figuring out where people are actually at in their business, in their lives, what's holding them back, all the things. So it's one product and one potential opportunity for upgrade. If you're in the first 1 to 3 years and you have a massive product suite and you don't really have any idea of what people are buying, or you're constantly changing what you're doing, pick one thing and talk about it until you're blue in the face and keep talking about it some more. And then create a means to get in front of people, whether it's you're offering a handful of free one-on-one sessions. One of the girls that I know, she offers lifestyle coaching for people who are looking to rehabilitate their relationships with themselves and with God, and like even within romantic relationships. And she offers free 30-minute consults and helps them solve a problem, and then just lets them know, hey, I also do one-on-one coaching if you want to go deeper with this. It really does get to be so much simpler than people make it out to be. You don't need websites and you don't need all these fancy things. You just need to know how to sell. And if you're not following the Jillian Murphy on Instagram, you should, because selling is one of the number one things you have to know how to do. Otherwise, you can't run a business successfully, period. Even your client experience comes down to your ability to sell. So I'm going to leave you with this and to really sit and think about this. We talked about a bunch of different things today. I'd love to hear what stood out most for you, where you're at, what you're challenged with, and come and pop in my DMs. Have a conversation. If I said something that set you off, let's chat about it. If you have a different perspective, let's chat about it. If you need some advice or some support around something you're dealing with, let's chat about it. I am always here to help. I want to see you thrive. I want to see you be able to live out that intention of helping other people change their lives. And there are logical ways and practices that are required to do so, but also a simpler way to approach that experience too. All right, I'm going to go with the babe and we're going to go check out Daddy. He's painting our room, so our house is an absolute disaster with everything all over the place right now. But I'm really excited to do the reveal in a week on Instagram, which will be so much fun. I'm loving all remodeling things right now and home renovations. And even though we rent, I treat my house like it's my house. And so we've always loved remodeling and freshening up the places and really making it our own. So that's what we're doing. We moved into our bedroom now. We recently did our living room and our entryway and the kids' room and my office. We just have some shelves to put up to finalize those rooms. And then, my husband's doing our bedroom now too. All right, so that was just like a fun life update. All right, I love you guys. I will see you next week, and get ready because there's some insanely incredible interviews coming out that's going to help you with your self-healing journey, your spiritual practice with God, and building your business, helping others online. Before you go, I would love and appreciate so much if you could take a moment of your time to leave a 5-star review. It helps me to be able to get this message out to so many more in the world, and I am so truly thankful that you choose this place to be every single week. Until next time, don't forget to find the magic in today.